Hey, Joe, the show is going to the dogs.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Oh boy. Hello everybody and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night and I am Scott and with me is my dog catcher, Joe.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your little puppy.
All right, I guess I could have.
Something cute, I guess.
I have to think of one for every week this month.
You know what you are? You're my hound dog.
Guess what we're doing?
Talking trash?
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And we are celebrating National Dog Month and National Dog Day on August 26th by watching some low-rated dog flicks for the month. And because next month is National Cat Month, we are doing cat movies next month. So it's going to be dogs versus cats.
Dogs will always win.
Sorry. And this week we are talking about a movie with the tagline, "Don't pet them, feed them." We are talking about 1977's aptly named Dogs. How clever.
Yes, very.
It has a 4.8 on IMDb from 1,127 reviewers. It was directed by Bert Brickerhoff. He's a TV show director. He did 106 episodes on 63 shows from Alfred Hitchcock Presents to Seventh Heaven.
Wow.
It is written by driver of Kevin Costner on Bull Durham set and the assistant to Tim Robbins during the Hudsucker Proxy. Yeah, his name is O'Brien Tomlin.
I like it.
It stars David McCollum. David McCollum, who some people know from the show The Man from U.N.C.L.E., but I know him as the voice of Alfred Pennyworth in the animated Batman movies, Batman versus Robin, Son of Batman, and Batman Gotham Knights.
You would know this. You would.
Perhaps Master would like some warm mixed nuts and a moist hand towel.
Watch yourself, Pennyworth. I'm not so young that I don't understand sarcasm.
While I am much too old to care.
It also stars Colonel Sanders. George Wenner, from movies like Spaceballs, Bad News Bears, and All the President's Men. It also has Linda Gray from the show Dallas. This film was also edited by John Wright, who won Academy Awards for his work on both Speed and The Hunt for Red October.
What? Doing what? What does he do?
He's a film editor.
Oh, a film editor.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, he edited this film. Unfortunately, he didn't edit up some bad goofs. He didn't edit those suckers out. Oh, we caught a whole bunch in this one.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, this is the first time, everybody. This is the first time that I contributed to the IMDb goof section because I caught a whopper. And rewinding it, Joe caught another one in the same shot.
So, I'm surprised you didn't see it.
I can't, because I was so focused on the clearly obvious one that they didn't even try to hide. I mean, when you have a crew member, don't put them behind a glass door. What were they thinking there?
It's
not like the glass wasn't see-through.
The dog trainer was behind the door. That was amazing, but the door was glass and you can see his whole silhouette.
Yeah, it's like one of these these prism glass, tint things.
1970s piece of crap.
Yeah, it looked
decor.
Like a giant beehive, but you can clearly see a person. Like, yeah. I guess they thought no one's going
to
notice.
Like, she was supposed to be running through the door, but then you could tell he clearly opened the door for her.
I don't even know if he opened the door or he had his hand up to stop the door from opening all the way on him.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. It was ridiculous, nonetheless.
Yeah. So yeah, we're talking about a movie called Dogs, and I'm going to start off. You said something about dogs always winning. Look, the my family, my history tree is of pure dog attacks. So I'm a little biased here. I did have two cats, and we as a couple had one dog at one point in our time, but I have. I'm not kidding around, I've had a brother who was attacked by a dog, and my father has also been attacked by a dog, and I was attacked by our next door neighbor's dog. So everybody in my family has been attacked by dogs. There's some kind of curse on the family.
Well, I have been attacked by a cat. So
okay, but let me ask you something. Have you heard a lot about cat maulings? Just some slapping, some scratchums.
I've seen a lot of boops and a lot of, you know, scratches and stuff. But these
not a full mauling.
They do.
There's no cat mauling.
They bite.
There's dog
they have
maulings.
Them sharp ass little teeth.
Would you rather have what I had or what you had?
I've seen some. Let me tell you something. I am scarred. Okay.
I am too.
I am scarred because of that stupid ass cat. It was my grandfather's cat, and I hated her. I hated that cat. She was mean as fuck. And she came after me any chance she could get. I hated her. Yeah. You know what her name was? Baby. I wanted to fucking kill that cat.
Well, that's the thing between dogs and cats. Dogs don't know. They just react. And cats are like, they're thinking about it. They're like, I don't like you. That's it.
I mean, that's the
dogs
thing.
Dogs are just like, am I playing or not? And then I'm like, oh, now I'm vicious.
When you come home from work and your little dog comes over and greets you and jumps around and, you know, kisses your face and so happy to see you, that is this. I loved it when our little Gambit did that when I got home. He was the sweetest little boy. And cats, they just basically will knock the candle over right in front of you and burn down your house. They're fucking assholes. Cats are savage, okay? They're freaking assholes. I don't care.
Look, I'm going to try to be as... No, I'm not. I'm not going to lie. Say I'm biased because I am biased. I'm not going to try to not be on one side or the other. I had two cats when I was a kid. One was a little asshole, and the other one was a gentleman. I'm not even kidding. This cat would wait for everybody in the family to go in the house first.
Hmm.
Waited like a gentleman.
He wasn't a gentleman. He was just waiting for you to turn your back to him so he can eat you.
He was a great cat. Everybody says it. My father does not like animals. I think that's where the curse started. He does not get along with animals very well.
I will say that
he said
there's something
that
with
cat was amazing.
There's something with your father and animals because
it's like
our
Damien.
Yeah, I'm telling you, our little boy, he loved everyone.
He was scared of him, but.
He didn't. There's something about your dad that just didn't. He did not mesh well with your dad, and he loved everyone. He was a sweet little boy.
He is. I'm gonna search his bald head next time I see him for the 666. Make sure. I mean, we could be because I think I have the spots on my forehead where the devil horns were removed, so it might be.
You know, you gingers, okay?
That's what it is.
Spawns of
Satan. And that's a funny segue because this movie also poses that gingers are the assholes. Yeah, this is a theme in this movie. We actually have a lot of connections this month.
You know what? I don't care. I know that there are a lot of cat people out there. I'm not going to lie to you. I have yet to meet a cat that was sweet and kind to me. I have problems with two animals savagely trying to kill me.
Okay,
this
on other
this
one
earth.
Is true. Cats, I think you're a little, I've seen the cat attack twice with you, but that was because that cat also attacked me too. But yeah, ostriches are your thing.
Ostriches are always trying to kill me.
I didn't know this was a thing until I actually experienced it. And even the guy who was driving the safari truck said, I have never seen that before.
Of course not. Because it's just me. There's something with me that those animals, they're demons. Okay?
Should I search your head for the 666 as well?
You'll see an ostrich symbol right on my scalp. Like, I can't. I don't know what it is.
Wait, so you're saying that the ostrich is attacking you because you're one of them? And you have a birthmark of an ostrich on you?
I'm their leader.
So you're
reincarnated. I too am a demon bird.
I had this feeling that I might be a reincarnated cat. Like I was a cat in my former life.
You do cat-like things.
It's weird.
It's creepy. But I will say,
and I'm a little jerk who punches the candles off.
You know, I gotta tell you, I can't wait for Cat Month because there's literally in my life no comparison. Now, if you're a cat person, my apologies, okay? I'm not trying to be an a-hole, but I have a personal vendetta with cats and they have one with me. And it's just not a nice relationship at all.
I feel the same way about dogs. So I here's the thing. This is a great thing to point out. I'm allergic to cats. And the cats love me. If I go anywhere where cats are, they love to cuddle up on me.
They want to kill you.
I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. But if reincarnation is a reality, which it isn't. But if it was a reality, it would be something about it saying that you come back and you can't have anything to do with what you were before. So it's like, oh, you can't be around cats now. You know what I mean?
There's a reason that these fuckers have 9 lives, okay?
Maybe.
They're demons. They are. I'm sorry. They're mean.
I think I was a ginger cat, like Morris. All right, so we're talking about dogs this month. So we are doing what a way to start out with a movie called Dogs. I think next month I actually have a movie called Cats, so it works out. And it's not the musical, so...
My God, I can't sit through that again.
Yeah, no, I'm saying we're only going to watch movies we haven't seen before. So yeah, Dogs, 1977 Dogs. Okay. We put this on. I love this that you said to me you thought this was a werewolf film.
Well, I mean, maybe I was kind of hoping because this movie has domesticated dogs going bonkers.
I tried purposely to get dog movies.
And, you know, they're cute, so it's hard to, you know, grasp that concept. And plus, the plot's a little weird.
Weird.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But, I thought it was a werewolf movie, and I was like, oh, maybe they're were-dogs or
okay, I dogs can see that. That, like, that I don't
know,
sense,
something,
actually.
You know? Maybe coyotes, even. Demon dogs.
I like coyotes.
Something. But these are, like, domesticated animals, like house pets.
I purposely didn't want to get movies that was, like, oh, the possibility of them not being dogs. That because I think a couple months before we did a theme and you were like, you're kind of not really on the theme. You pointed out a few times because I was like, yeah, I thought this was, we did Christmas movies and we got that Chuck Norris movie that only took place on Christmas for 10 minutes. And I was like, well, I messed up. I thought this was a Christmas movie. I mean, there's Christmas in it. So this time I was like, no, I have to have dog films.
Okay. So, I'm watching you.
Yeah. So I think I pulled it out this time. I think I did it.
I'm going to say, I was shocked by this movie.
Yeah. Right. I'm very surprised by this movie.
I mean, the only thing grosser than the gore in this was the fashion.
Yeah. The 1970s was a disaster.
Fucking puke, man. I can't stand 70s fashion.
It's like someone blew their nose and threw up at the same time and just went, let's wear this.
I mean, I don't know what's worse. It's like the earth tone polyester matching skirt jacket ensembles or like the plaid bell-bottomy suit pant things. And I mean, I love plaid.
I want to bring it back.
This is just...
There's a point in this movie where I kept saying to you, I'm bringing this back, this style, where this guy is wearing red pants, like really red bell-bottom pants with like white shoes. And then he had a plaid outfit on and then another colored hat.
He looked like Cousin Eddie from the vacation movies.
It was wild.
It was next level. I'm like, you're not bringing that shit back. Okay, if we go to a 1970s party, maybe. But no. This.
I love it.
The turtlenecks, loafers.
There's a coroner in this movie that's wearing a forest t-shirt, like button down. It's a forest printed on it.
There was like, you know, deer.
Yeah. And there was like people camping on it. And I was like, what is happening? This
it was
the
like
coroner.
Silky. I'm like, where is this dude going? Is he going to like, you know, a swingers lounge?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody looked like they were going to a swingers
party. Awful. Everybody.
And the funniest part is he didn't eat a sandwich, but this This might be a new cliche. People who like the coroners in movies wearing different outfits like this. Like, I don't know if I've seen this before. Usually everybody's just eating a sandwich, but I was very surprised by this guy's outfit. I was like, wow, okay.
I mean, he looked like he was just coming from like literally some kind of like, you know, cigar lounge.
He did.
I mean, it was ridiculous. He did. The fashion in the 70s was just straight up garbage.
Oh, it's terrible.
I can't take it. So this movie came out in 77?
Yeah.
Okay, 77. And I gotta say, I did not hate this.
Well, let's talk about the plot. Okay. So the movie starts off with dog vision at a party. It just jumps right into it. And the first thing we see is like there's a big party going on and we're watching dog vision, which the camera is pretending to be the dog walking around a party.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy says, hey, I'll let you out. And just goes and lets a dog loose in the street.
Yeah.
And then we watch this dog go running. And then the entire credit sequence is more and more dogs escaping their houses to pack up and run through the streets.
Okay, I have a question. Now, you know, dog owners, I'm going to tell you something. I did have a little dog, a little Pekingese. His legs were short and stubby, so he couldn't run very far away from me. However,
he did.
The dogs, I still know where he is at all times. I would never just open the door and let him fly, okay? These dog owners don't give a rat's ass, okay? Why are you letting the dog out on the in front of a street to get killed by a car? Like, they just don't give a shit. They are the worst dog owners of all time. Why are you not securing your animal at night into the house? Why? Exactly. Why is he not sitting next to you on the couch?
It's a thing in this movie is that everybody lets their dogs loose.
Yeah.
And they just go, all right, Rex, go out there, you know? And then the dog just goes running.
It's
free. So that's what we get. We get a montage. I actually said to you, well, this escalated quickly.
Oh, my God.
Because there's like 15 dogs in the next shot.
Yeah, just all domesticated animals running down the street together. Yeah.
In slow motion with music playing.
Yeah.
And I love this. It does the font that says dogs, and it's like in white. But then blood drips down in the lettering and it just says it's in red. It's so.
Okay, so I love that.
I love that too.
I loved it.
And it was a cartoon. Someone drew it, which made me laugh.
It was really great because like these are cute dogs. Like I'm talking about like a cute little floofer. You know, he looks like Sprocket from Fraggle Rock.
Yeah. Well, the first dog was a full on Doberman Pinscher, I believe.
Oh, yeah, he was a Doberman. Yeah. And then they had, like, there's a German Shepherd. You got all kinds.
You got every dog possible in this movie.
But they all look so cute and sweet, but then they're just running down the street in a pack. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen here? Where are they running to?
Yeah, so we didn't know. So the next scene is a party where we get introduced to our characters, our characters.
Yeah, we meet our main guy, Harlan. He looks like a hippie with, like, you know, one of those bowl haircuts, but he's like totally slamming the 70s there with his denim jacket, his matching denim jeans, and his weird pattern shirt underneath. He looks like a California surfer dude.
He looks like a bum. I mean, this guy is like, he's got that do from back in the day that shapes into a helmet, like, but it looks like a penis tip. Right? So it looks like Lord Fauntleroy. I was going to say, what's his face with Shrek, but I like yours better.
We used to call our nephew when he was little.
And that's the funniest part is that this entire movie, we kept calling this character Keith, which is our relative, like who we thought, if he was alive in the 70s, that's what he would look like.
He would. He had a beard.
Yeah.
He looked like he was, and then he would always had a beer in his hand. Okay, like if Keith were alive in the 70s, he would be this person. Yeah. Except I think that he wouldn't be wearing jeans. He would probably be wearing denim shorts.
Oh absolutely. Yeah, probably denim shorts and some kind of Hawaiian outfit.
Yeah, for sure.
The funniest thing about this as well is that he likes beer. And this character in this movie also drinks out of a can constantly.
Yes, it was like...
There's actually a sequence where the girl that he is involved with basically says... You know, you can come in. I have a nice warm house for you to come inside. And then she's like, and he's not paying attention. Then she goes, and I have cold beer. And he goes, huh?
By warm house, yeah, she means her vagina.
Yeah, she's got a bed on her back. And he doesn't even like perk up until she says cold beer.
Yeah, no, he wants the beer. He doesn't want the bed.
He doesn't want any of that.
Do you want to come in for a while? It's nice and warm inside. I've got plenty of cold beer in the icebox.
What?
Harlan, I'm offering all I've got and you're not listening to me.
Everything?
Everything.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
So am I.
Well, so this guy's like, you know, I think he's British. I'm not sure, but he is from out of town. He is a professor. That is the craziest part. We never get to see him teaching.
Okay.
But he is apparently a professor.
Yes, but he's also, okay, so he's that cool professor at I think it's Southwestern University.
He's all,
being California.
He's like emo as hell. He is so dark and brooding. Like he drinks beer constantly, he's drunk,
yeah.
And he hates everybody.
Yes, but he hangs out with his students at bars.
Yeah, but then he talks shit about them, like how stupid they are and how they're the worst, like, graded people ever. Like, he's like, oh, when you see their tests and everything, you're going to be appalled.
You know, the rot starts in first grade. Half the time, the kids sit around and thread beads. The teachers don't insist that everyone sit down and learn the basic skills anymore. You'll be horrified at the standard of penmanship, spelling and grammar throughout the student body here. My old professor would have had a coronary.
Well, what does all that get to do with postgraduate studies?
Well, it's the same attitude. The practical takes second place to the ideological. And it's all the way through the system. It's getting to where a fancy talker with an average knowledge of his subject can wangle himself a research fellowship. It's bloody ridiculous.
Trouble is, they're all paranoid. It's what happens when you get IQs of 200 and the mentalities of nine-year-olds.
What do they do with you when it comes time to raise funds around here?
They lock me in a closet.
I was told that this was like a free reign. And then he
goes, spends a lot of time at the bars with them.
Yeah, well, there's a sequence where, for odd reasons, he is drinking with the students at a bar. I don't know why that's happening. I don't know. And he's still lecturing them while he's playing darts and drinking.
I know. It's crazy.
Well, at this party, though, we get introduced to our main guys. We got, like, a mayor, which, by the way, when we keep saying mayor, I don't think that he's the mayor. I think he's actually the head of the school head.
You know, I think he might be the dean.
Yeah, I think he's the dean.
I think he's the dean at the university.
So we were trying to figure this out because it seems like they're at a university, and I was pretty sure it was California. I don't think in the movie they say anything.
No, but it is California.
But I looked into it. It was San Diego, and I had to look into it further because they won't stop saying the linear accelerator.
Is that the famous linear accelerator?
What's so secret about a linear accelerator?
It's that damned linear accelerator. What the hell we're going to do about the linear accelerator draining power from the people?
They have a linear accelerator on campus.
That's supposed to be a government experiment.
No, it's not. I looked into it. It actually is. I put San Diego Linear Accelerator College.
Why is that on a college campus?
So it's basically what they use to do radiation treatment. So it's a medical thing. So this campus, this school, is some kind of big medical school.
Well, it's a biology. It's the main guy, Harlan, who's like the California guy, he is a biology professor.
Yes.
So, yeah, but...
And he is...
they have a linear accelerator on campus.
They have a linear... And it turns out that is true. And I looked into it. So I don't know if this school is supposed to be this school. I don't know. But it doesn't really say...
With Michael Fitzgerald on your staff, I'd say that Southwestern is now among the top two or three college research centers in biology. Wouldn't you agree, Harlan?
I understand he's very good.
And also, it's very confusing because some of the kids seem younger.
Well, you can't tell with the 70s.
You can't tell, but it's supposed to be a college campus. And because they're teaching and they're studying all these different things, they all are working on their big, their scientific projects of whatever the hell you want to call them. And I guess that's the whole thing. So there's a new professor coming in who is virtually doing the same kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Where they're working on their own.
Yeah, they're doing like an experiment.
But they're working on their own field. you know, type of thing. And he's coming there, and he is played by the actor who I was joking around about as Colonel Sanders from Spaceballs. He comes there. They virtually say that they're basically working on parallel work, and that's where the conflict is, because everybody seems really hyped up to meet this guy. And there's actually one of the actresses in the movie is like, you can see that she's kind of like the flirt college teacher, and she is really into the new guy coming in, and they're all talking about him coming. When he comes in, he's a full on nerd with giant glasses, the whole thing. And she's like, oh yeah. And meanwhile, the British dude over here drinking the cans looks like he hangs out on the beach. Everybody doesn't want anything to do with him.
I know. There's no in between here. It's like two extremes.
Yeah. So when they meet, there's kind of like a clash, because they're both kind of doing the same experimenting, the same thesis. They have the same thing that they've been working on. And even the guy says parallels should never meet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an odds, and you don't know where that's going to go. It goes nowhere. So you kind of meet everybody. You got the dean, and you have another professor who is the stuck-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have the girl that the British professor is into.
Yeah,
that
his they have name some kind of relationship. Harlan, and he's got a girlfriend who's super cute.
Yeah, she's some kind of teacher as well, but I'm not really sure what she does.
I'm Carolyn Donahue of the English department.
Hello.
We only really see one teacher doing a lecture, and that is Colonel Sanders.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken.
So, we're slowly start finding out that all these people, we kind of get little bits of who they are. It seems like the professor who's from, you know, England or whatever, he's kind of more of a brooding guy, and he's like, drinks a lot, and he doesn't want anything to do with everybody else. And then you find out that the one stuck up teacher is into the quote unquote pretty teacher. I don't know what you're going to call her.
The one with the mattress strapped to her back.
The one that's like trying, not the one that offers the cold beer, not that one. But we kind of get their little bits of who they all are. So we then find out in the middle of the night at this party, he gets called for some odd reason. This one guy shows up in a cowboy outfit. I guess he's like some kind of ranch hand around town or this area, because this college campus seems like it's cut off. It has its own dorms, but it also has its own house units, which is weird. They have like houses that are in the same area. It's like its own little community of this college campus and the linear accelerator. Just wanted to keep saying it because they say it a lot.
I just have a problem with linear accelerator. Okay, first of all, isn't this thing giving off copious amounts of radiation? How are you keeping this thing secure in a college town with college kids living in dorms? Like, how is that safe?
It's a device that you, I mean, I don't think there's, I was looking into it. Is there any side effects? It does do radiation, but they have it closed off. I mean, they use it in the medical field all the time. So it's really weird. I was looking into it as much as I could, but I'm not going to get all the details here. This ranch hand guy, he shows up. I don't know who he is exactly. He almost seems like the local cop.
He's like the, maybe just like a local, like he has like a cattle, maybe he has a ranch.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have a ranch because the cops seem to know him. I don't, it's very confusing, but he comes to this party just to tell our main character, hey, you told me if any of the cattle in town, anything was happening with them, and we found some dead cattle.
So he goes out to the ranch where the cattle is being, like, I guess, mauled.
Yeah.
And they show it. It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, there's some cows, like, ripped up.
So you think you're dealing with some kind of monster, but no, because this movie is called Dogs. But our main character, Harlan, he kind of like, he learns really quickly what's going on, it seems.
Well, kind of. He's debating about what's happening. Because what happens next is that there is a ranch hand, I guess, who owned the cattle. In the middle of the night, and by the way, we definitely know this character's name, because they say it a ton. It is Larry Ludke.
We got to pick up Ludke on the way.
Larry Ludke.
Larry Ludicky just called him.
He is apparently watching in the middle of the night. He's watching his cattle, and then he hears some howling, and we get to see a cartoon image of dogs sitting in front of the moon howling.
Oh my gosh, why did they put that in there? It was so silly.
It feels weird for the rest of the movie. I don't know.
It does.
I think they drew it, but I'm not sure.
It seemed like a cartoon.
Yeah, it seemed like it. He gets mauled. The dogs attack him.
Okay, can we talk about this, please? Because I know that you said that, you know, trained dogs that are trying to disarm like a suspect or something will go right for the forearms.
Yeah, they try to grab weapon arms, anything that, you know, they try to disarm people by grabbing the forearms.
Disarm.
Yep.
You disarmed my arm. You disarmed me.
You're going to say it again?
I don't know what I'm saying. Okay. Anyway, here's the thing about this scene though.
Yeah.
This blew my mind because this guy gets fucked up. This is not like the, you know, I did see the dog go for the forearms.
And you can see that there's padding underneath. It's like a thicker forearm.
Yes, but at some point that dog had his face in this actor's neck.
Without a doubt, there is some, it always worries me watching this. And I've seen like the Jackass guys do this.
Well,
and you're like, yeah. How the hell do they do this? This looks so dangerous.
They get fucked up.
This whole movie is that stunt. Over and over.
Yeah, but you know, this one actor though, I mean, he was like an older man. It was weird because at some point, like I was really, really looking. I was looking to see if they switched him out with a stunt guy.
Wait. Who was an older man?
That Ludicky guy. Wasn't he older? What's his name? Larry Ludicky?
Larry Ludicky was killed.
Because whatever bit Larry Ludicky, it wasn't just one animal.
Listen, Al. I had a look at Larry Ludicky's body.
Listen now, I think whatever got to Larry Ludicky got this boy.
And it looks as if whatever killed Larry Ludicky also killed him.
Look at this animal here. Are you telling me that Grady dragged poor Larry Ludicky or the Huber boy into the bushes and slaughtered them?
Why did you have to go and look at Larry Ludicky's body?
Some cattle were killed. They belonged to Larry Ludicky.
Deputy Goodman told us about Larry Ludicky.
I'm busy. He's dead.
He's dead, yeah, but he rose again. Can you dig it?
They say it 1,000 times in the movie. So, but he's like an older man. And I'm telling you, I was looking for like when at one point when they switched out the stunt guy and put the real actor in, I couldn't tell.
Well, this guy
was getting mauled.
He doesn't have any lines.
Them bastards. This makes 4 head, and I can't afford that. I'm going to get my gun and kill them, son of a bitch.
You're a rancher, Larry, not a hunter.
Hell, I've been shooting a gun all my life.
He might have been the dog trainer.
That's true. But Jesus, it was pretty brutal. I mean, he got ripped up.
What I love about it is it's not just like one kind of dog. It's like every kind of dog.
Right. I mean, middle-sized, like mid-sized dogs to like really huge dogs. I would say like there's no small dogs really. They're all middle to large dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're all like domesticated, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to see this because the one that does the most damage is the Doberman. I mean, he tears the
shit out of
this guy.
There's a couple canine type dogs.
Yeah.
They also the big ones.
Yeah, but what's impressive is that you can see that this is a full-size grown man, and he's getting dragged. I mean, they show it.
Yeah.
He's getting dragged away from the scene by the dog.
I think you're mixing it up with another person who gets dragged off
set. No, he gets dragged because they find his body at the gas station.
Yeah, so that was weird. There's a mention later on because they look at the cattle. He goes back to the back home, and then he gets another call. Actually, it's like maybe the next day, because we get like a whole classroom scene where we find out that the one guy, the other teacher, is teaching kids about pheromones, which is a theme in the movie, which they want us to know purposely that his science he's teaching is pheromones and how it makes a hive mind. And he's like talking about ants and stuff like that.
And how it can change the way of like the behavior of other species.
When species get together, like if they were to group up, they would pass and become one big mindset, like kind of a thing.
Right. So this is how they're explaining this away.
That's and also the linear accelerator.
Right.
Is in town. So, yeah.
It's in town. It's in town. Like the circus.
I think one of the characters in the beginning actually says, well, there is no proof that the linear accelerator affects animals. So I was like, okay. And then the next scene is like, pheromones affects animals. And you're like, ah, all right.
Okay. So, is this thing? So
they're suggesting that the linear accelerator is radiating the pheromones, and they're when the domesticated canine gets close to each other, they're packing.
Okay. That's how they're explaining this movie. The plot of this movie is there is a college campus, a linear accelerator emitting pheromones that are causing the dogs to go apeshit.
Yes. And we get what, like that night, I think they go and play darts and they're at the bar and they're talking about this. Our main character actually makes jokes about movies because they're talking about how they got one kid saw a killer ant movie, which I guess is like them or something he's talking about. And he's like, and our main character goes, terrible screenwriting, right? Oh, it's so fake and it doesn't make any sense to science. Right. And then this movie's like, Pheromones. I wish this movie was called A Linear Accelerator, but Pheromone.
It wouldn't have the same kick. I mean, it can't get more blatant. Dogs. Because literally, the stars of this film are the dogs. I mean, the animal trainer was pretty damn good in this.
Yeah, let's point that out, too, because he gets a call when he's at the bar that they found that one guy's body, and they said it was, like, ripped up and near the gas station, but I didn't understand why. And they had dragged it at the morgue.
I told you.
So he runs down to the morgue with his girlfriend. For some reason, I guess because they were on a date and he brought her with him.
You know
what?
It's so romantic. I want you to bring me some champagne, some roses, and take me to the morgue so I can, you know, just, that's so sweet.
Well, now let's go play
romantic
darts, and you can drink with the other kids from our class.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And by the way, when we see that, when everybody's in that bar, they're all singing. They're all having a great time. They all have the same song. We meet one of the students is a large ginger.
Is his name Howard? I think his name is Howard.
And I only bring him up because he actually becomes more and more important in the film in a weird way.
I mean,
and
is he though?
I actually wrote a quote from later on in the movie where a guy goes, someone says, hey, what about Howard? And the one other guy goes, the fat boy? And then the other kid says Howard back to him, yeah, he left because he's hungry. And I was like, oh, Jesus, this poor kid.
You gingers are getting a bad rap, man.
In the bar, he like falls off his seat and he goes, can I sit on your lap to a girl? And they're like, no, you're fat. You know, like, of course not.
I mean, poor guy. But like, well, it's just coincidental that he's like the womp womp ginger.
And it gets worse, too, because he also has asthma.
And he has asthma.
And I was like, son of a bitch.
Oh my God.
It gets worse and worse for us.
Guy, man.
So he gets a call to go to the morgue. Now, I don't know why everybody calls him for dead bodies. It's never really established why the cops aren't more called. Well, this one cop goes, hey, there's a dead body at the morgue. Hey, there's a cattle dead. Like, you want to go see it? It's so odd that they're calling this professor constantly.
Well, because he's a biology professor, so he'll probably know, like, maybe, like, what kind of animal.
But it's like he's actually
those wounds.
It's perhaps? Actually, but it doesn't. It's not that because the coroner should be able to do that.
The coroner is an idiot.
But let's back up because I was just like saying that I think that it's like this professor has put out feelers. Hey, has anybody ever found a dead body in town? Just call me. Okay, here's my number. Just call me. Anybody who finds anything. Dead anything. I want to look at it. I want to poke and prod it and touch it with my bare hands, which is what happens. When he goes down to the coroner's office, at the same exact time, we get more dog attacks. So there's a guy on a motorcycle who drives up, and about 15 dogs are just sitting in the street at night.
It's like they were just waiting for him.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was like they were like a bunch of zombies, but they weren't moving. They were just sitting.
So he crashes,
like the birds.
And he's like, you damn dogs. And they start mauling him.
See, this is where the movie just starts saying, you know what? Fuck it all. okay, we're going to go pure savage. We're not even going to care or hold back. There's a poor old lady that sees all this happening from her front porch. She runs over to help the kid.
She has a dog, too. She has a little dog
who's like, you know what?
Joins up.
Screw you, you old bag. I'm going to go join these. These are my new friends now. And the dog starts mauling.
It ran up and ate the motorcycle guy's throat.
Yes. I'm like, holy shit. So then the attention gets turned on to this old lady who literally gets freaking jacked up.
I didn't think they would do it. Like, I thought, wouldn't it be funny if that happened here? And I thought, they're never going to do that. And they do it. And then this is the one where she's being mauled so terribly, the motorcycle guy, they leave him. And he just dies while trying to crawl up to help her.
Yeah. And they drag her ass away, too.
They actually show her legs getting pulled off shot.
Oh, my God.
Like, just off the...
I mean,
out of
it's
frame.
Savage, this old lady. I was like, damn, they're not going to spare nothing.
Yeah.
But then I got scared. I'm not going to lie. Okay? Because this is when the movie just starts going. Like, no, like, just go. There's a freaking dog show.
Okay, yeah, but you're skipping over the morgue. You're skipping over the morgue.
Okay,
because we have to talk about the morgue.
This is the most... this guy, I don't know if he was drunk during filming or what the director's choices were, but like when he goes to the morgue to check out the body of that rancher...
Poor Larry Ludicky.
He says... touching him with his bare hands and picking at his wounds. Did you notice?
Yeah, he with his bare hands is flipping his skin flaps.
It's gross.
I'm like, why?
I was like, why are you doing this?
And he's with his date. She's standing behind him. And she's like appalled.
Well, he does it because he finds out that it's a domesticated dog.
He doesn't place it there. He's slowly figuring it out because he thinks it doesn't seem like coyotes. It doesn't seem like wolves. It seems like something else, but I can't figure it out. So he needs the other professor's help. But there's also this weird, I don't know if you noticed this. There's this weird thing in this movie where they keep saying the power keeps going out.
Okay, that's because
there's rolling blackouts.
No, because the linear accelerator is generating too much power. So it causes occasional blackouts and then the power will come back on shortly.
Yeah.
So like that's what they're explaining in a way that it's using too much power, which would explain why it's sending out the pheromones or whatever.
Yeah. But my question to you is, didn't you think this was going to be a bigger part of this movie? Like that this was some kind of explanation of why the dogs are attacking and then the power went out, maybe they'd switch back.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be something, but it only plays into the coroner that he's touching the body and she's like appalled and the lights go out.
Yep.
So when she starts like screaming and she runs out freaking out.
I mean, I would too. The power goes out and you're in pitch blackness in a freaking morgue with a dead corpse like right there.
With a dead corpse.
I did say a dead corpse.
When I say it, you get me.
Okay, with a dead body present. I didn't say dead corpse.
Okay. I will say the only reason the coroner isn't helping here, the guy with the forest t-shirt... or silk button down forest t-shirt, by the way, tucked in. He is dealing with a guy tripping on acid.
Good meal. Good meal. God, it's so beautiful.
Which sees Jesus in the...
Okay, this was the most useless thing to throw into a movie.
It's like a weird way of getting the... So he can't help this guy out figuring out the wounds or talk to him, which would have been more of make sense in the sequence.
No, so he figures it out himself. That this is like...
Because he called out, but the coroner calls later on and it's like, you know, I looked at the wounds myself and it is wild animals, but I can't place what animal it is. And he's like, I'm sorry, I wasn't helping you. That guy was tripping pretty good. but he does call and he's like, hey, by the way, we also have more bodies here later on. And I don't know. They didn't tell us if it was the motorcycle or the woman, but one of those people had never mentioned ever again.
That old lady got dragged off.
They're like, there's more, and they're connected. And he's trying to work with that other professor now. The two professors are kind of collaborating and talking about what could cause this, what can make it, what kind of animal do you think this is, what kind of dog or wolf or whatever, what could it be? And he finally places it when the coroner calls and says, I think it's canines. I think it's domesticated canines. And he's like, I think the other guy is saying that it's the pheromones that he thinks there's some kind of pheromone that they're producing, but they never say it's the linear accelerator. But
no, they don't.
We are basically told is an answer that maybe the radiation is affecting the canines in the area.
But why isn't it affecting like the wolves or the foxes or any other?
Well, we'll get to that because it does. So, they say that at the very end.
At the end, we learn this. But here's the thing. So,
okay, talk about the dog show.
Okay, wait. Can I just say though, the first order of business here, if you're realizing that this is domesticated dogs, that maybe you should send out a freaking warning to all residents, like put it on the news, keep your dogs, you know, locked down. Keep him in the house, keep him barricaded, whatever.
He does. He actually goes to his boss, which we're saying is the mayor of this town. We don't really know, or he's the dean or whatever. He actually goes to him, the two guys that go to him, and they say, we think it's domesticated canines, everybody's dog. And he has his own dog, this guy. And of course, he's the Jaws mayor, the poltergeist mayor, you know, like the typical character in these movies where he's like, we don't want to start a panic.
Yes.
And right at that time, they get a phone call that there's another dog attack. And that is what you were talking about a minute ago, because he's telling the head scientist guy, like, I'm going to fire you.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to fire you if you say anything. I'm going to fire you. Like, okay, God, why is in every horror movie, there's always a mayor that's like literally the Jaws mayor.
Yeah.
But like
he's proven right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, I would go to the media and be like, you know what? Fuck this guy. I'm going to tell all of you to secure your dogs, sedate them, do whatever you have to do, because there's like some kind of crazy shit happening. I mean, so far we have like at least 3 people dead right now.
Yeah.
And the next thing, I was like losing my shit because I was like, oh my God. So we see that this is before all the panic happens. We see that the kindergarten class is having a dog show at school, and all the little kids are so cute. They all have their own dog, and the dog can do tricks, and they're having like a little dog show. And out of nowhere, I don't know what triggers them or when it triggers them or how, whatever, the dogs just start barking and going crazy. And everyone starts running for their lives. They're attacking the teachers and the freaking kids. And like I mean, I was like, holy shit. I'm like, if they show a mauling of a kid.
I was like, this happen?
Wow.
Yeah.
But they get a couple people, but for the most part, the whole entire, like, you know, the kids and the parents and the teachers, they make it out for the most part. But some of them get, you know, get bitten and stuff. But I was like, this scene scared the crap out of me because I was like, oh my God, these little peewees, they're so cute.
And they set each one up. Each kid gets to say his name, says the dog's name.
Yeah, and they set it up.
And all the dogs go nuts.
They all start going crazy. It was bonkers.
What's funny is they call the mayor exactly at the time the guy is like, he's being threatened. You know, he's threatening the other guy to shut up about it. He gets a call. The dogs all attacked everybody at the thing. Now, what really pisses me off, just like in Jaws, where Brody gets like shit on because he told everybody to call and tell everybody that there's a shark killing people and the mayor doesn't do it, Brody gets slapped, right?
Right.
The same thing happens here where this guy is like, everybody's turning on him.
People were killed. Didn't say anything to anybody?
Well, I wasn't sure yesterday.
You mean to say you knew these animals were running around wild and you let the kids have a dog show? Are you crazy?
Look, don't hunt these animals at night. It could be very dangerous.
You knew this whole time there was canines? No. Like, I just figured it out and I told this guy and he didn't want to do anything. Like, but everybody's like, you're the worst. Like, they're just going at him. You're a coward and all this stuff. And him and the professor, they're trying to make, they're trying to come up with an idea of how to stop the dogs, right? And they're coming up with an idea of spraying some kind of anti-type of pheromone thing on them, and they're coming up with solutions while doing a test with another dog. And so we get the same time, a group of men from town kind of pack up to go and hunt the dogs.
This is another cliche, okay?
Yeah.
Why are the ones that are always hunting something fucking drunk?
Yeah, it felt very silver bullet. this sequence, or I don't know, you know, that probably came out after this, but
way after. That was like the '80s.
Okay. Yeah. It felt very like that, where you get a bunch of idiots with like hunting rifles, and they go out in the middle of the night, they go set up a camp, and they all just get bombed.
You know, this could have all been avoided if these people would have just got an all points bulletin to secure their dogs.
Yeah, the security. Well,
I mean, I don't
think so, because
put your dog in a cage in a basement. It's that simple.
This is where we start getting this setup that there is a noise that this pack of dogs is making that is like a rolling, creepy howl.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really weird. It's like a long, dragged out howling sound effect. And it is creeping everybody out. But what we start finding out is that when this howl happens, any other dogs that hear it get instantly turned to the pack. So if they're in the house, they're just going to go nuts.
Yep.
So, well, except for one little pocket dog that seems to do nothing. And like, why isn't it not attacking?
Oh, it's Harlan's girlfriend's dog. She has this little tiny, like, I don't know what he is, but he's so cute. And he's just like, you know what? I ain't got time for these fools.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not turning.
I was just waiting for our main character to chuck it, because I was like, because any minute I was expecting it to bite her.
Poor guy. He was getting jostled around a lot. There's a lot of screaming and running.
Oh, she screams in this dog's face. I don't know how the dog didn't react like negatively. But those hunters hear the howl. And they're in the middle of nowhere. There is nowhere they're going to fend this off. They're being like circled.
See, this is
being like stalked by the dogs in the middle of the night.
I have no patience for this kind of stupidity. Okay. You bring, first of all, those are rifles. They are not, and because I told you my experience of video games, they're not close range guns. I don't know anything about guns, except that I know that rifles are not close range weapons. If you have a pack of dogs, why wouldn't you take a shotgun or like a handgun or something? Why do you have this stupid freaking gun? These guys are drunk assholes and they deserve to get mauled. And that's exactly what freaking happens.
Well, it's funny because the one guy that we don't know if he's the sheriff or not, he's with him. And he even says, he's got a handgun. He says, you know, guys, stop drinking because I don't want to be stuck with you idiots if you're all drunk this happens.
Like, who's gonna do anything? You're stumbling everywhere. This is such a cliche in horror movies that they always go out like, you know, robble. All drunk with their guns, you know, and they think they're going to just, you know, take them down and be the heroes. Meanwhile, they can't even stand up straight and they're a bunch of freaking morons.
Yeah.
And
they're all butchered.
I mean, completely. But the best part is, like, first of all, this looks really good. I mean,
it's not bad.
It looks really good. This guy, his face was like just flaps of roast beef. It was good gore. It was good.
It was fine. It worked really well, I thought, for the sequence.
Yeah. I mean, so the three of them get completely destroyed. And then the one guy who I think is the sheriff, or maybe he's a cop or something.
It's hard to tell.
He's the one with the handgun. He's just watching as these three guys just get completely destroyed by the dogs. And I'm screaming the whole time. I'm like, you stupid fucker. I'm like, you have the handgun. Shoot one of the dogs.
He does shoot multiple dogs, but it doesn't seem to do much.
I mean, he could have saved at least one of those dudes.
I didn't think it was possible.
Poor decision.
There's like 20 dogs around them.
Well,
like,
one was on the one guy with the roast beef face, okay? And he could have saved that guy. He could have. But he didn't. He's the worst. So he gets mauled and mauled to bits. He makes it to his truck to call for help, and he's just like, bleh. He dies.
He dies, yeah.
I can't even tell you the body count number right now, because I feel like at this point, this is even higher than, like, you know, 3 or 4 of the Friday the 13th movies, the body count in this movie. And we're talking about domesticated dogs. We're not talking about Jason Voorhees.
I'd say we're at 7 if we're counting Larry Ludke.
To Larry Ludke.
Oh my God.
And his cattle's another victim. But yeah, so this is where basically it just starts going into madness, because they're experimenting the other dog and trying to come up with a solution of how to stop the dogs. They hear the howl. And their dog that they're doing the test on jumps out of its cage, bursts through it, and runs off.
Freaking savage. Like, it got through a metal cage?
Yeah. Well, it's not metal. It looks wooden.
It looks metal.
It doesn't look real. I don't know one shot it looks metal, next shot it's completely cardboard.
This, either way, this, what happens right now is freaking off the wall. It's crazy. These dogs go, I don't want to say hog wild.
We start getting shots of different incidences of murder. So I think the one in particular to talk about is the scientist, the one professor who seems to be into the other professor, you know, the stuck up professor and the pretty woman, and they come back from a date. And this sequence is weird. You can tell that he's into her and they've been dating for a bit, but she is not, she's just using him. And when they get back to her place, she's like, have a good one. And she goes, he goes, aren't you like, when are we going to stop this? When are you going to invite me in? What, why do we keep doing this? And she's like, gets to the point where she's like, I have a headache.
Here's the thing. This
I
is
don't
what
like
I,
you like that.
I feel like she's leading him on and she gets punished for it because he makes it to his car and he drives away. Right.
I don't remember ever seeing him after this sequence. Yeah.
She gets it in the shower and the dog kills her in the shower.
So, yeah, okay, we got to talk about
that. That's this real, like, you done wrong, girl. You led him on and you're a piece of shit and I'm going
to
kill you.
One can say they're trying to say bitch. Like, yeah, I will say that I actually was watching this and I said it loud. Like, why lead him on?
I feel like this is the only strategic kill in the movie.
I agree.
I feel like the dog was coming for her because she's a bitch.
Yeah. She is an idiot. She leaves her back door of her house open. The sliding glass door is just open. So a dog comes in there. She undresses and goes to the shower and is listening to music, which I was laughing about because it sounded like the Love Boat theme. And she goes in the
70s.
Shower. What? I don't know what's happening in this shower. The first off, her head is the same height as the shower head.
You really have to put a clip of this online.
I'm going to have to, because I'm going to edit it with funny music.
Yes,
too.
You have to, because it looks like she's being like, she's ground up by a guy in the shower.
She looks like she's either dancing or optic nerve blasting. We don't really know.
I'm not going to say banging.
I don't know what's happening in this scene. I think it's just her washing her hair. I don't think it was supposed to be like suggestive at all.
But it was.
But it is. And then the dog just comes in there and eats her in the shower.
It was pretty funny because I was like, okay, this is just a strategic kill because everyone else, whoever's running and flailing, it's like Jurassic Park. The dinosaurs are going to run to whoever is running and flailing. This girl, literally, the dog was just mad because she's a bitch and she led this guy on. Like, he was getting his revenge on her for whatever reasoning. And he's like, you know what? You deserve this. You deserve this mauling because you a bitch. You don't be leading men on like that.
Well, we thought it was going to jump through the window.
Why would you need to jump through the window when the door's literally open for you?
Well, that they do the dog vision 70s again.
70s people.
Yeah, they do the dog vision again, and we see that a dog is watching her in the window.
Yeah.
And then I was like, whoa, it's going to jump through the window. It's going to be amazing. And then they're like, no, the door's open. Why is the door open?
Right. It's just like, just walk right in. It's okay. These people didn't give a shit if they got murdered in their sleep back then.
Yeah.
Nobody locked their doors. They just didn't care.
Like, that one is a crazy one. But yeah, so now it like progresses even worse that the two heads, the two professors who are trying to figure it out, they go to the police station to try to call that sheriff guy who was already killed. And when they get to the sheriff's station, they see the people in the sheriff's station all dead.
They're
too.
Dead.
A guy is dead, and he was hiding in a closet, I guess. And when they open the closet door, he just falls out on them. I love that in movies.
Here's the thing:
he got to the closet, closed it after he was dead.
It's amazing. Okay, first of all, these are domestic dogs. Now I understand they're all riled up and they're trying to maul your neck out, but you take a broomstick and, you know, smack them or something. I don't understand.
Hell no.
How the hell?
You're not going to smack these dogs.
I don't know. You could probably
that broom and smack you back.
I mean, you could try.
These things are huge.
Some of them are. But a lot of these people, they don't even try. They just lay down and get mauled to death. And I got to tell you, some of these scenes were pretty damn good.
Have you not seen a dog attack somebody? Like, there is no fighting the damn dog.
No, not a lot of the time. But I mean, in this situation, at least try. Some of these people didn't even try. They just like laid down and just let it happen. And I gotta tell you, some of the women that got destroyed in these in this movie,
hey.
Oh my God. Like, it's, I feel like I felt bad for them.
Yeah. I will say that the two professors actually get some guns. The one gets cleverly gets a shotgun. The other one gets a rifle that he can't use.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
And they go running through the town to try to help people. And they go to try to get the mayor, who they find fighting his dog on his property.
On his lawn. The dog, okay, this dog was literally biting out his neck and everything. And the other professor takes his rifle and shoots the dog.
Well, we don't see it. We just see him shoot off screen. And the next shot, I go, oh, I bet he shot the mayor. And he sure did. As shit, he did. The mayor and the dog are laying there. And the dog jumps up. It's still alive. And he, and then the other guy shoots it with the shotgun. And it, we find out he missed and shot the mayor and killed him.
Yep. I was like, okay, well, I wouldn't be able to live with that.
Yeah, but the guy's like, it was an accident, shake it off, we have a lot of people we have to help. And they find, we didn't talk about this too, and I'm mad we didn't talk about it, because she's MVP of the movie, is this mayor guy's wife, who makes him call the governor.
Yeah.
And the guy is such a puss that he's just like, kind of like skating around telling the governor, hey, there was a kind of an emergency here. And he just kind of like hints around it until the wife grabs the phone and says, there's dogs murdering people here. Like, there's a problem. Yeah,
she's a badass.
It seems we've been having these dog attacks. Hello? What's that? Oh, you have a dog? What kind? A mutt. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Oh, for God's sake.
Governor, some people down here are pretty frightened. Now, I know we don't want to get into an alarmist frame of mind, but I just wanted to apprise you of the situation. I really don't know what you can do. No, I don't think there's any chance that anything's gone wrong with the accelerator. It's just that we have a large bunch of dogs that are acting up, and that's the long and the short of it.
Governor, this is Louise Koppelman. Two people have been killed down here by dogs. Yes. Yes. And a group of kindergarten children and their parents were attacked just this afternoon. Yes. Now, we need some help. Well, I don't know what you're going to do about it, but do something.
And then
she's just found dead in the...
She's floating in the pool. I'm like, what is happening?
Oh, no, not her.
When I tell you everybody in this town is dead, it gets worse, okay? Yeah. It gets worse. So
he sends Colonel Sanders back to the school.
Colonel Sanders goes back to the school to help all the college kids. And, okay, the reasoning behind this, I think this is a stupid decision, but they're all told... All the college kids are told to exit their dorms and convene in the library.
Okay, so yeah, why? No, that's not exactly how it happens. He goes there. None of these kids believe it's true. They're all like, yeah, right, dogs. He's like trying to scramble. Now, this guy just killed somebody and he is scared out of his mind. And he's saying everybody has to check in. We have to write everybody's name. Everybody's got 5 minutes in this room. Go to your dorms. Take everything. You got 8 minutes. Meet back here, and then we're going to move over to the library and get together slowly. And everybody's like, eh, we don't believe it. What happens is, when he goes downstairs, another guy, for some reason, dressed like Gilligan. I don't know what's going on with this guy. He's got a yellow raincoat and a bucket hat. And he comes up and goes, hey, what about Howard? And that's the scene.
Howard's the chubby guy.
Like, oh, the fat kid? All right, I'm going to go find him. He went to eat in the kitchen.
Yes. I can't find my room.
Your roommate? Who's your roommate?
Howard Kaplan.
Scratches. Howard. The fat boy, you mean?
Yeah. He was hungry.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
I think he went to the Commons. It's a scholarship job. He's got keys.
All right. I'll go get him. You wait here. Make sure no one leaves the place. Understand? Yeah. No one. Howard. Fat boy, you mean?
Yeah. He was hungry.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
So what do you think happens here?
So he goes to go save Howard. Right. At the same time, the kids all convene and they go, well, no, he's not back. Let's all go to the library. Okay, so that's the problem there. They didn't wait for this guy. And the one kid with the raincoat is like, hey, he said wait. We shouldn't do it. So when he goes to get Howard, Howard is doing the entire scene from Jurassic Park. He's singing a song about how fat he is, and he's like, I can't wait to eat honey buns. And
The stags in the forest are running so free. The blossom embraces the bee. The morning will come when the world will be. These sweet rolls belong to me.
The dogs go in the kitchen and
He's clever. Actually one of the only smart ones.
He's actually not the smart one. It's the guy with the gun. The professor, he comes in and stands
up on the table to try and hide from them.
True, but he's still holding his honey buns. He would not give those up. The guy actually says, throw the damn honey buns on the side. And he goes, he holds them for a little bit. I was like, this fucker doesn't want to get rid of the honey buns. But he does. He throws them over. And one dog stays. And so it makes the guy with the gun, he can't shoot it, the gun, and it doesn't have a bullet because he used the one bullet to shoot the mayor. He goes over and smacks the dog with it. The dog is like bloody, like he killed it.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like at one point they actually hurt that dog.
He whacks it with the bat. I mean,
there's not a lot of trivia on this movie.
Yeah.
So I want to believe it. None of the dogs.
Yeah, I know. I hope not. You always hope with these kind of movies. So he is able to get Howard out. And of course, Howard is asthma attacking.
Is anybody here? Oh, those idiots. You're going to lose some weight, Howard.
That's not the reason I can't run so fast.
What's the matter?
I've got asthma.
Come on, Howard. Let's get moving.
Where?
The library.
At this point, and fat ass Howard in his honey bun mouth, he's all having an asthma attack. So they're slowly going out there, but at the same time, the kids in the library, they go to the library, they get attacked by all the dogs, and they're running in a stampede. Half of them are being killed, and then a whole bunch of them get into the library and shut the doors, and all the dogs sit at the doors waiting. So
it's like an Alfred Hitchcock Birds moment. Yeah, it's crazy.
The professor, with a gun. And Howard come out there and they see some of the bodies. And of course, wouldn't you know it, fat fucking Howard gets up, runs away from this professor and goes to the doors and gets to the doors. Now, this is another one of the goofs in the movie. We actually saw this in the goof section on IMDb. And it is there. It's very clear as day. He's asking them to let him in. And one of the doors accidentally opens in the shot. So he could have got in, but it's not what happens. Instead, one of the dogs, a giant dog, jumps on Howard, and he goes smashing through the window. And it lets all the dogs in the library.
It's a pretty good stunt.
Oh, it's awesome. And all the people in the library are just devastated. I mean, these dogs rip them to shreds.
Oh, my God. They showed, like, all the bodies just laying there bloody and messed up and mauled and stuff. And I was like, damn, this is pretty rad.
I mean, we're not kidding. Every single student is murdered.
Like, at this point, we're at body count 100 in this freaking town right now. There's nobody left. We got Harlan and his girlfriend and her little dog running around.
So that's what's happening with his character. The dogs actually leave the campus because he went back to get his girlfriend at her house. And when they get there, they are surrounded. The pack goes there and tries to get her and him. And so they're stuck in the house because they go in the top stairs window. All the dogs get in the house and come down the stairs and chase him into the garage. And then they have a standoff in the garage. At the same time, the campus has been done.
Devastated.
So at this point, we only have three characters left virtually
this
movie.
That's it.
And the professor that was at the campus, actually, we watch him walk around and look at all of the corpses of all of his students.
It is bonkers.
And he just wanders out, just done. Like, he's done. He's devastated. And we don't see him because we go back to our main character as they're fending off because they can't get the car to start because the keys are inside the house. They're fending off dogs trying to get through the drywall.
Yeah. See, at this point in the movie, though, I was thinking, and I don't know if you were, but I'm thinking, okay, why didn't this Professor Harlan guy, why didn't he stop the linear accelerator thing? Like, okay, so why didn't he stop it?
Again, the linear accelerator really has nothing to do. It's a basically the way of the people who made this movie to tell us that is probably what's happening here.
Right, but if
but
that's
this the... Howard, I mean, our main character, not Howard, that's the Harlan. Dead fat kid. Harlan. Harlan hasn't really figured it out. He just knows that the, for some reason, the canines are packing together and they're attacking using some kind of pheromone problem. Like, they don't know what's happening. Because the movie happens so quick, he has no time to process. So we're only told in the background what could be happening. It's like in The Birds. In The Birds, they don't tell us. They never tell us what's happening.
That's true.
And
they don't.
And that's one of the creepy parts. It's just like, this. What if this could happen? Yeah. What we wouldn't know what would happen. Like, why it's happening. We wouldn't find out. So this movie is actually going, hey, just in case you need to know, here's what's happening in the background. The accelerator is going off. There's a weird power outage. And then these pheromones are happening. So the dogs are some kind of radiation problem. We don't know if it's the water. We don't know why it's affecting them. But yeah, he can't stop the accelerator because he doesn't even know that's what it is. Like, he's too busy trying to stay alive during this and stop the dogs.
I feel like that accelerator thing is kind of like a weak thing. They should have called this movie Hounds of Hell and made them from, you know, made them from, like, you know, literal hell, like demon dogs.
Oh, I kind of like the fact that it's like a science gone wrong movie. And it doesn't really need to focus on it. It's more about the people trying to survive. I like that more because it's like, I don't really need, like, them to stop it.
True, yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, it's like the problem is out there, you know? Well, let's just finish the movie real quick. The movie basically ends with them getting the car started, driving off. The dogs are, well, they hit the dogs with the car and they get away. And they get to the countryside a little bit and they see all the dead bodies all over the countryside.
It's crazy.
And they see the other professor is just dead.
Yeah.
Our other main character is just dead.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, you would think like a pack of dogs, it would take a while to get this high of a body count from a pack of dogs.
Well, this is something that really made me laugh during this movie was the fact that every character is shown to have a dog.
Yeah.
Except our main two professors.
Well, hey, everyone in our development has a dog. I mean, we wouldn't last a minute.
Oh, not a minute. Yeah. It's like a movie about killer cars that back into their spots. They would really be dead. Because every asshole here is backing into their spots, man. And I'm sorry if you're backing into your spots, but I can't stand
it. You know what it is? Okay, so the backer-inners with the big-ass trucks. That's what really gets me the most, is because you're literally backing in your truck bed over the sidewalk. So when we walk down the sidewalk, we're literally walking into someone's tree.
Yeah.
Because there's no room to walk. It's rude. And we're sick of it.
Yeah. Just wait till you see the car that backed in next to you. Oh, you're going to love it. Anyways, so killer backer-inners. So that's a movie. The linear accelerator
Who's
starts
in that?
The cars.
Linnea Quigley?
Okay, sure. I mean, that's a weird pick.
I think she'd be good. You know, maybe she would save the movie. She would flash her boobs.
Oh.
You know, not Linnea Quigley now, but Linnea Quigley in 1985.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Getting off track here.
When our main characters drive off at the end of this movie, we hear a news report talking about the animals going crazy and that why hasn't it been other animals? And they pan over and they show a cat and he hiss and it freeze frames.
Freaking demon.
So they're saying that cats are now going to start pack up and killing everybody. And they... In the trivia, it said that there was intended to be a sequel of cats killing people, which I don't believe for a minute that would have ever happened. This movie bombed at the box office, and we never got
anything. Okay, but why? Because this movie was not that bad.
It's not that bad. We've seen way worse. And by the way, we forgot to talk about the goof that we actually put on IMDb. I think we mentioned it in the opening here. But there's a scene where when... They tell the girl, go and get the keys. when she goes to open the back door, there's the two people. We could see the two people on the set who must be the dog wranglers, because the one's on behind the door and the other one is on an oven, sitting on the oven, and they signal to all the dogs in the kitchen to start barking. And
it was a goof.
It's terrible
goof. It was a terrible goof because, I mean, the director, how do you miss that? First of all, like, you literally have a glass door and you can see the silhouette of the dog trainer standing behind it.
Yeah.
And the worst part is that you didn't even notice the guy sitting on the stove.
I was just so blown away by the guy in the doorway, like, just sitting there behind the glass.
Yeah. I'm like, Scotty, look to the right. You'll see that there's a dude sitting there. I'm like, this is the worst film flub of all time. I mean, it was like, okay, how do you explain away that?
You can. It's just like, I cannot believe they didn't catch it. Like, we've seen some bad things edited in movies. This one's crazy.
I wonder what body count is in this.
Oh, like at the end, the entire town is dead. Everybody's dead.
I mean, the entire town is, I mean, they got all those college kids. Only two of them making out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't know about the jackass guy. I don't remember ever seeing his body. Maybe they showed it in the school, in the library. Because in the library scene, we also see, like, there's, like, two kids, the one that was at the drinking with the professor in the bar scene, and also the kid in the raincoat. There's a scene where they save each other, and then the next shot later on, they're just butchered on the floor. You see their dead bodies, and I was like, oh, that's a shame. Like, you think they're going to get away, too.
Nobody does, except for Harlan and his girlfriend and the little dog.
Yeah, oh, and she, by the way, the sequence in which they're defending the garage, she is useless in this movie. I don't know what her character is. Like, are they a relationship? They seem terrible together. They don't seem like there's no happiness here. There's no love. There's no romance. It just seems like she's forced in this relationship.
Yeah, sucks. But that's not the focus of the movie anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, it's like a side thing, but she just sits in the garage while he's being basically, she just keeps screaming.
You know, and it's like, this is typical of these 70s movies. There's always some useless chick screaming and acting like a fool and not helping. You know, it's like someone is, like, getting pulled, or, you know, someone's beating on the person you're with and you're just gonna stand there and scream. Like, no, get a freaking plank of wood and crack them over the head.
Yeah, honestly, do something. Get a hammer, get something.
You know, they don't do nothing in these movies.
So what year did Alien come out?
79, I think.
That's amazing, right? Because, like, Ridley Scott, apparently they wrote the main character of Ripley, like, to be a man, and then they like, she, like, was auditioning, and they were like, we might want to be the lead, we might want to change it around. And good on them, because that must have been really, at the time, it feels like every movie we watch from the 70s where the women are just, like, doing absolutely nothing to help.
Yeah.
It's like they're just being underwritten as people, as just, like, useless people that are only there as some kind of romance character.
Sorry, I was determined not to do that.
Well, it's my fault. I should have told you to wait outside.
I'm very capable of making my own decisions. I'm just not used to being plunged into the dark in a morgue in the middle of the night.
And when you see Alien, you're like, holy shit. Like, that must have blown people's minds. Like, finally, an actual well-developed female character.
Yeah, Alien, and then, you know, freaking Vasquez and Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Badass women.
Well, I think at that time I guess he did that before Terminator. No, he did Terminator first, right?
Yeah, well, Linda Hamilton. Yeah, Terminator was 84, I want to say.
Okay, so that
And happened. Then Aliens was 86.
Okay.
Wow. So
Cameron, too, is
amazing
with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he is.
So, yeah, this movie. Yeah, so I enjoyed this more than I ever thought I was going to. I thought this was going to be terrible because of the 4-point whatever. I don't think it's great. There's not much story here. There's not, like, I don't think we're going to really remember a lot about this movie later on.
No.
So I don't think.
But you know what? I will remember that there's some good.
We've seen better dog, like, attack
there
movies.
Is some good gore, though. I mean, they killed everybody. They didn't even hold back at all. It was crazy.
Yeah, I guess so. I just don't think it's a 4. I think it's a little better than a 4, but I don't know if I would go 6.
No, it's a 5. Yeah, it's a 5.
It's a mediocre film.
It was fine. It's a good gore. It's good gore. I mean, the plot was stupid.
And when you say good gore, it's not really good gore. There's a lot like when the cop is killed, he virtually just drops a thing of paint, red paint.
Yeah, and some of the makeup was like, just a slab of ham.
Yeah, it's like when he's looking at the corpse, it looks like it's turned purple. It reminds me of like Return of Living Dead, not Return of Living Dead, but the Day of the Dead, when all the zombies for some reason are like multicolored looking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They were kind of like grayish purple.
Purple.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like they were frostbitten.
Yeah.
It's odd. And it looked like that in this movie too. And I was like,
but I mean, for 1977, cheap. It did look cheap, but I mean, I didn't expect all the gore. I mean, I didn't expect the slashes and all that stuff. It was pretty neat, for this kind of movie, I guess. But yeah, I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah, I think a 5 is the right score. I think a 4 is insanely low for this movie. It is definitely not boring.
No.
We were into it enough.
I mean, yeah, I was into it. And
it also just doesn't have anything.
I looked at a lot of reviews online, and a lot of people were saying that this movie has like fallen into obscurity, that you cannot find it. That's not true.
It's streaming on not only free on YouTube, but also on Amazon Prime right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two ways to find it. So that's kind of odd, since I found it so easily, where other movies that I want to do this month are a little harder. So yeah. That's odd.
Well, Amazon Prime has the better quality.
Yes, that's true.
Go that route because it's free.
The free YouTube one, unfortunately, is a little degraded because it is some kind of rip. If it was, and also on a bigger TV, it's not going to look so good. If it was on a smaller TV, it'd probably be fine. On your phone, it would be perfect.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But so this is for Lisa at Real Movie Lovers. I know that you're disappointed in me because I haven't been able to do my why we can't have nice things on some films. And I'm sorry to disappoint you yet again, my love. But there's 2 10s on this, and they're ridiculously, excruciatingly long and pointless. And there's no ones, there's no twos. But I was able to find a 3, so I'm going to do the 3. And
I want to see if I agree with this. I want to see if this person can sway me.
You can't. This one is not one that can be judged. It's an anecdote.
Oh.
It's an anecdote.
Well, let me ask you this. Was it written by a cat?
No.
Is the name Garfield by any chance?
No.
Normal.
All right. This is the 3 out of 10 I was able to find. And it's just silliness. It's I was an extra in this film.
No way.
I was in high school. Most of this film was filmed at Southwestern College in Chula Vista, California.
Okay.
They allowed dozens of local people to be unpaid extras in scenes where they needed running scared people. Our only pay was one free meal from the catering truck. I got David McCollum's autograph.
Nice.
That's the anecdote. And then I was able to find a 6.
Can I just back up and talk about this guy a little bit? Because he's an extra. He works on this movie. He got a free lunch and he met this guy and he got his autograph. Mm-hmm. And he's like, still a 3.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty. Really, I guess that lunch sucked.
I mean, if it's probably like a freeze-dried pack of tater tots.
Yeah, but let me ask you something. If someone's like, hey, get a free peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a PB&J, and get... pretend to run from dogs in a movie, you're gonna be like, I'm in.
Yeah man, you could pay me in a bag of chips.
Yeah, it's like the guy who's the guy from Reacher, that actor from Reacher, where he's like, someone asked him, do you want to be Batman? He's like, yeah, I'll do that shit for free. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm Batman. Yeah. I'm in. Jeez,
oh my god,
I'm not asking for much, man.
All right. So this one's a 6 out of 10. I just randomly found some that I liked. So this is Not Worth for the Worst.
What?
That's what it's titled. And I don't understand that. Not Worth for the Worst. Among all the horror movies involving mad dogs, Man's Best Friend, The Pack, White Dog, White God, Cujo, Breed, this one is probably the worst, at least the weakest of them all. a kind of Jaws on four legs with a collar around the neck, and so poorly done. But fun to watch if you have really nothing else to do. Only the ending can be saved. A six, though. A six.
I do agree with him, though. He kind of nails it. It is good background noise. By the way, what were the movies that he named?
Cujo. Okay, good one.
What else?
The Pack.
Okay, so far, and I think you said The Breed?
Yeah.
So those are two. I'm going to try to get us to watch this month.
Okay.
So that's funny, but Cujo is a classic.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've seen Cujo. But yeah, so I did not hate this movie. I thought it was okay. The thing is, there's no characters in here to really like.
Yeah.
It didn't, there was no character build up or set up really. It was just like, okay, professor. And then they're all dead.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there isn't really much going on here except like a dog attack film.
Yeah.
And it does that well enough.
Yeah, it does it well enough. Like it's hard to believe that these little, you know, floofy dogs are like, you know, mauling out someone's neck and nobody can fight them off. I mean, come on. This is like, come on. You can fight them off. Do a little better. Do a little better.
Do and, better.
You know, it was okay for the time period, I guess. I mean, there's some gore. I liked it. Even if it was, like I said, a flap of ham or a flap of roast beef, it still looked fun. It looked like, wow, you know, they tried.
Yeah, I agree. It, you know.
It is Mario Bava blood. It is Mario Bava blood. Yeah, it is. But, you know, it was still interesting. I mean, these dogs killed the whole entire town. It's crazy. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't recommend this, but, like, you know, if you're curious about it and you want it to not go away off streaming, you can watch it on Prime or YouTube.
I will agree with what you're saying. I think that for horror movie fans who are like really weird horror movie, like culty underground horror movies.
Yeah.
This is a fun one to find.
Yeah.
Like it's a decent, fun little find. It's a little boring in the areas of the characters. Yeah. It's just stale. The main actor is not compelling at all.
No, he's
like,
not.
He's a weird choice. He's like, no one has charisma.
No, there is no charisma on anyone. It's like, ugh, no.
Yeah.
Even like, I mean, I would say maybe the dogs have some charisma, but that's the end of it. There's nothing.
I like that.
And, you know, the chubby guy that tries to eat the cinnamon buns or honey buns or whatever they are, he's got a little bit of charisma.
Poor Howard. No, fuck. I actually said on screen when they showed Howard's dead body, I said, fuck you, dude. You got everybody killed in this movie.
You did.
Ginger fat asshole.
Why are you mad, man?
I'm saying,
poor
man.
Poor Howard, he's dead.
Not only do you make me feel bad about myself, you make me feel bad for all humankind.
Hey, this guy is not a reflection on all gingers, okay?
And when he goes, calm down, slow down, I have asthma. I was like, fuck you, movie. And on that note, let's get out of here. You know what, guys? Hit us up on Instagram at JustAnotherMovieNight and Joe at TheCraftyMisfit and tell us what you think. Tell us movie choices, themes, anything you guys want us to watch, we'll watch. And you can torture us. We love it. We're glutton for punishment. Some could say we're just like Howard, looking for some honey buns. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Good night, Dr. Entry.
Oh, come on, Charlotte. It's only 10:30.
Well, I have an early class tomorrow.
You know, it's getting a little tiresome saying goodnight on the front porch like a teenager.
Well?
You know, isn't it just a little coincidental that every time we're out together you have an early class? Come on, let's go inside.
I'm going inside. You're going home.
You know, Charlotte, if you don't want to see me anymore, all you have to do is say so.
No, I want to see you. I want to see you at school and parties.
That's not what I mean, and you know it.
Let's just say I have a headache. Good night.
Your roommate. Who's your roommate?
Howard Kaplan.
Scratches.
Howard. Fat boy, you mean?
Yeah. He was hungry.
Oh, for Christ's sake.